WOR, the Bamberger Broadcasting Service, Newark, New Jersey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have brought you into the main dining room of the Advertising Club of New York, 35th Street and Park Avenue. You hear the voices of women today. This is a rather unusual occasion. The room is full of distinguished women, women who have accomplished great things already in life. And the luncheon is being given to the guest of honor, Mrs. Louise Faden, who has already won the Bendix Prize, a walk-on transcontinental air race won by herself. Today, the award will be of the Harmon Prize, put up by Hugh Burt Harmon. H.B. Laquat is presiding. We're opening the microphone before Mr. Laquat.
In view of the honor and prestige that Steve Johnson's Advertising Club is present, as president of the International League of Aviators, we hope that you will so honor us in making presentation of this trophy to Mr. Faden.
That is indeed an honor, Colonel Sherwood. I should much prefer that you had acted in your position as president of the League of International Aviators, but since you have asked me, I am glad to have the opportunity to present to you, Mrs. Faden, as the winner of this trophy, presented to you as the outstanding woman flyer in the United States in 1936. This trophy, which had been won by the other outstanding women in this country, and I believe some abroad. In winning this Bendix race, you folks here know, of course, that Mrs. Faden set a transcontinental east-west record for women and became the first woman to win that particular trophy. I now present to you our guest of the day, Mrs. Louise Faden. Mrs. Faden.
One time I went up to one of the broadcasting stations here in New York to make a radio speech, and I didn't have it written out, so they wouldn't let me talk. And today I found out that this was going over the air, so I did write the speech and find out that I didn't have to. After all that effort, I'm going to read it if it kills me, and it probably will you. The full significance of all that is represented in this Harmon Trophy has brought the realization that I cannot accept it for myself alone, because mine was only one part of all the individual efforts that made possible the accomplishments that led to this award. As you doubtless know, I flew a stock model Beechcraft in the last Bendix transcontinental race. Many people labored on my plane. However, I want to pay particular tribute to the unsung few who are responsible for Beechcraft efficiency. Mr. Walter Beech, manufacturer and pioneer in instrument flying. Ted Wells, designer and chief engineer. Warren Drake, factory manager. And Ollivan Beech, executive, whose faith in the plane and in me was responsible for our entry in the Bendix. Before our lives became so full of mechanical aid, so full of interdependent organization, individuals frequently achieved great successes without assistance. Now outstanding accomplishments are due to the conscientious efforts of many people, and it is for them as well as for myself that I accept this beautiful trophy. It is splendid of you, Mr. Laquat, and of you, Colonel Sherwood, and all of you, to make this most pleasant affair possible. At the Beech Aircraft Factory in Wichita, there is now undergoing flight tests a new Beechcraft for me, which we believe will be the world's fastest commercial airplane. Perhaps we may meet again under similar circumstances, I hope.
Mrs. Faden is about to learn that she is going to answer some questions from the president. But before we present the questions, may I tell you, Mrs. Faden, that Frank Hawks called me yesterday and said that he had flown that new plane of his 362 miles an hour. Is this new one of yours going to do better than that?
Well, his is a speed plane. I'm talking about commercial airplanes.
Well, to me, Mrs. Staden, flying is an ideal combination of work and exciting adventure. And still, I venture that there are many in this room who have never been up in a plane. I'd like to ask you how you happened to start flying.
Oh, that's the usual question. I might have known that was coming. I'll give you the usual answer. I don't know.
Well, you ought to do better than that. Is it a fair question to ask you how many years you've flown? And what is even more important, how many hours of solo flying you have done?
Well, Mr. LaQuatt, if I had my hat off, you could see my gray hairs. I've been flying for 10 years, and I have some 1,600 hours solo flying to my credit.
Does Patsy and Bill object, or do they enter any feelings at all about this flying of yours?
Oh, they more or less take flying as a matter of course. Mr. Faden is a pilot and an aeronautical engineer. So all the poor children have heard, instead of Donald Duck and Peter Rabbit, they hear airplanes all the time.
What is the longest flight you've made, Mrs. Staden?
You mean at one time?
At one time. Then you can answer the other question after that.
Well, the longest flight, as far as hours up in the air is concerned, was made in 1932 with Francis Marsalis. We, in our ignorance, you know, you have to always do one thing once to find out about it. So we went up on a refueling endurance flight, which we thought would be fun. That was before we took off. And stayed up for 196 hours, which is a little over 8 days. And I might add that that was about 8 days too long.
Well, who gave the babies the bottles while you were up for those 8 days?
Mr. Faden was home.
Proving again that the man pays and pays and pays. Mr. Faden, you've been in a number of races and endurance tests. How should such flights be used to further the best interest of aviation and after that to further the best interest of the poor layman such as myself who likes to use a plane for business purposes only?
Well, Mr. LaQuatt, you almost had me signed on that one. A number of years ago, I think endurance flights and such things did do a tremendous amount of good. Because it did prove the reliability of engines and airplanes, as well as the fact that that a pilot could take it too. But in these days, we know what our airplanes will do, and we know our engines will run thousands of hours. And personally, I don't think they do a great deal of good anymore, except for a layman like you. In that the actual concrete experience may give you added confidence in airplanes and engines as well as in pilots.
You think then most of the testing which would result in improvement of the machine has been done?
Oh yes, I think so. Otherwise I wouldn't be flying.
Well, that isn't true because you started flying, didn't you, in 1927?
I was young then.
I'm about to get a raise. Mr. Gill got her telephone number and her address, and together we'll cover it. Well, you won that Bundick race, and please forget your modesty for a minute and tell me why you believe you won it against these other crack pilots.
Oh, dear. Well, in any racing event, I think there are three or four major factors. One is the equipment you have. The second one is the ability of the pilot. I'd say those were about 25% apiece. And then the other 50% can be covered by good luck.
Will you enter the Bendix race this year?
I wish I'd read these questions before. yes, I think so.
Well, who's your chief competition as you see it now? Frank Hawks with his plane, and will he be in that race?
I imagine he will. I think there are going to be some very fast airplanes in the Bendix this coming year. Probably Frank Hawks and Roscoe Turner, and I think there's going to be a Seversky in, and probably a Beechcraft.
Well, I think you've answered it, but I was going to ask you what you were going to fly, so to be sure we didn't overlook that, and then ask you if you'd describe that plane a little bit.
Well, this new ship, which is being test flown now, has a 600 horsepower Wasp engine in it. It has a climb of 2,500 feet a minute and a cruising speed of 245 miles an hour with a 1,500 mile gas range. If we go into the Bendix in it, we'll put some extra gasoline in so that we can fly from Los Angeles to Cleveland without refueling. This Beechcraft, as you all probably know, is a little different from any other airplane made in that it has inverse stagger in the wing. When Mr. Beech and Ted Wells designed this ship and put inverse stagger in it, it was one of those things that couldn't be done. On paper, it doesn't work out, which all goes to prove that we still don't know too much about design, that is, efficient design, because we found that this inverse stagger works particularly well. So when you all see an airplane flying around that looks like it was upside down, it isn't upside down, it's right side up, and it's a V-shaft.
I'm afraid this inverse stagger's gotten a hold of me, because I was about to say, what do you all think of this? Then I decided I'd better come back to New York. What time won the Bendix race last year?
14 hours and 55 minutes.
Make a guess on this year's time, will you?
Another one of those things. If very many pilots are listening in on this, I'll probably be mobbed. Well, the distance from Los Angeles to Cleveland is approximately 2,000 miles, isn't it? I think the winner of the Bendix this year will probably average at least 300 miles an hour and possibly more, which would make the time around 6 hours and a half.
6 hours and a half. I know the answer to this one, but I think those in the room would like to know how you got here today and the time required to get in from Wichita. Won't you tell them that?
Well, I came through in a little 285 horsepower Beechcraft, and you all think I'm advertising.
If you say that once more, they might get that in place. If you say that once more, they might get that in place.
Well, I imagine by this time anyway, you all know I fly a Beechcraft.
Couldn't we mention the children now, Patty and Bill?
Well, anyhow, I came through in 7 hours and 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mrs. Satan, very, very much.
You're welcome.
With a second good wish to Patsy and Bill if they're listening, and I hope they are.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we've concluded this luncheon, which the members of the Advertising Club of New York have given in honor of the great and distinguished woman flyer, the winner of the Bendix Trophy for a transcontinental time record in flying, Mrs. Louise Faden. Mrs. Faden was awarded the Harmon Prize today, which was presented on behalf of the donor, Hugh Burke Harmon. Presiding was H.B. Laquat, the president of the Advertising Club of New York, who actually presented the Harmon Cup on behalf of the club to Colonel Earl Sherwood, the chairman of the Aviation Committee of the Advertising Club, who also responded to Mrs. Satan for coming down here. The entire day was filled with women, an unusual sight in the Advertising Club of New York, which is essentially a man's club. Other speakers on the program today were Mrs. William Brown Maloney, the editor of the syndicated this week of the Herald Tribune, Miss Toni Strassmann, a German flyer, Rita Otway, the president of the Advertising Women of New York, Dorothy Kilgallen, a passenger around the world. The room was completely filled today. There were two or three men also on the day, executives and pilots. The announcer is Floyd Neal. We now return you to our studios.